Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 29th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is Hour 2 of 2, the goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Good Friday. It is Easter weekend. What a time to celebrate. What a time to recalibrate. What a time to educate. What an opportunity. Welcome to the broadcast. Last hour, we really doubled down and talked about the chain of human events and how the birth of our nation absolutely connected to the birth and the resurrection of the Savior Jesus Christ. And religious liberty is the quintessential mother of all liberties, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, check out that last hour after the show. Give us a couple of minutes and it'll be up so that you can spread it far and wide, would you please? Because we really need to understand what our actions need to be in relation to what was done for us. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk about RFKJR. Now, he picks Nicole Shanahan to be his running mate. She is a Bay Area, meaning, you know, California, San Francisco, Oakland area, Bay Area lawyer, an investor. She came to America poor as a church mouse. We don't even know if her parents were citizens at the time. Of course, she married into money. I don't know if it's like gold digging or what the case is, but she was married to Google founder Sergey Brin. And, you know, there you go. They say after announcing his running mate, RFK Jr. Nicole Shanahan, after announcing his running mate, they say it's all but certain that RFK Jr.'s third party bid will help Donald Trump instead of Joe Biden when it comes to the elections, as some feared. But then they say it might undermine Donald Trump's ability to govern. Now, people are taking a lot of liberal licenses on their thoughts on some of this kind of stuff. But I will say this, there's pros and cons. On one hand, you could say it's good because it might help the Donald. On the other hand, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. believes that he can still win. He's like, don't believe that we can't win. We still can. And, you know, the question becomes, does RFK Jr. and Nicole Shanahan have enough mojo to where Joe and Donald split the vote and it helps RFK win? I don't think he's got that much mojo, but he's got plenty of mojo to change the course of human events. I'll tell you that right now. And this is very interesting because I think it's a poor pick. Personally, I don't trust Nicole Shanahan being tied to Google that has been tampering in elections. A couple of days ago, we had on this expert from the Media Research Center, MRC.org, talking about they've documented now that Google has tampered with elections more than 41 times since 2008 alone. It's election fraud. And so she's tied to that. Now you can say, well, she's not married to him anymore, Sam. Come on. Well, I think that RFK Jr. might have been doing a little bit of gold digging in reverse. He needs cash for his campaign, and Nicole's got it. Anyway, very strange pick, in my opinion. Most people don't even know who she is, so she doesn't bring name recognition to the table, but she does bring the cash. She was the one that funded RFK Jr.'s Super Bowl ad as well. So, you know, is he just in it for the money? I don't know, but it's a very, very strange pick, doctor, and I don't trust her at all. And, you know, I was really thinking RFK was doing a pretty dang good job and liking a lot of what he did. Now I'm kind of second-guessing that. What do you say?
Well, if you'll recall, on Monday, the last 20 minutes of our little get-together last Monday morning, we talked about this at great length. And rather than try and revisit or rehash that completely, I'll make a few observations that, you know, now that we know, see, that was Monday morning. Tuesday is when he announced her. He had selected long before and everything like that. And so much of what you're bringing up is something we had discussed at length on Monday. But now that he's made the this thing public, there has been a plethora of blowback, both from the Republicans and the Democrats. And I find it very, very interesting. You know, I always try and connect the dots. Why? Why is everybody upset? Why are they taking this track? Those kind of things to me are a fascinating analysis. And honestly, I believe that both Trump and Biden camps are very gravely concerned about the Kennedy. As we mentioned, Kennedys, if nothing else, are politically astute. And the value that I think that Nicole brings to this campaign, I think we could point those out fairly easily. But both Trump and Biden are doing everything in their power to deflate this kind of bubble that Kennedy seems to have created out there. You know, Biden thought he'd get a little rise in polls, get a bubble out of his State of the Union address. It didn't happen. And Trump has been, you know, the front runner for a long time. And now we get this new news stuff, and like it or hate it, this is something that's got to be a dynamic that's going to have an effect on the campaign. I personally believe that Robert Kennedy probably has more momentum, more mojo, more power, more influence than Ross Perot ever had. And I remember the Ross
Perot
campaign
about it.
Very well.
Whether he'll get more of the vote than that, time will tell. But he's certainly got plenty of mojo and plenty of momentum. And now he's got plenty of money, which is one of the big keys. Not that I like that, but it's reality, right?
It is. But here's the deal. Biden's campaign was very dour about it. I mean,
well, they're even hiring a whole bank of attorneys to try to commit election fraud and prevent ballot access for him and everything else.
Unquestionably. In fact, it's well underway in Nevada right this very moment, even as we speak. Kennedy had turned in adequate signatures to be able on the Nevada ballot, and they brought in a kink that they're saying they're throwing it all out. They're going to end up probably have to redo all of that. The Nevada access does not even have a line to write in your vice presidential running mate, and yet they're saying, well, because you didn't have this person named before, none of this is valid. You're going to have to do it again. They're going to find every little squeaky clean thing that they can that's not so squeaky clean, but they're going to try.
Well, that's
going to
come back and bite
can.
Them, though, because if Joe Biden, if they decide to switch horses midstream on the Joe Biden deal and put somebody else in there, that very effort they're doing to try to disenfranchise RFK Jr. because he didn't have his pick selected by then, that's going to backfire against them big time as well, because it's even 10 times more so, right?
Well, here's the thing that the two big parties have kind of got up made in the shade, so to speak, using that old term we used years and years ago. These guys have ballot access based on party access. See, these clubs that they're in have ballot access. And when you're an independent, you have a different process you go through to get on the ballot. It's usually a signature process. Some states are almost impossible to get on without a bazillion dollars. Other states are relatively... Utah, by the way, is the only state that Kennedy is on right now. And so he got qualified, I think it was in January, to be on the Utah ballot. But the fact of the matter is, he's got to go through a signature gathering process, and that's why they're estimating $15 million are necessary to be able to go. You hire people to walk the streets and to get, I mean, I've done this. I mean, I sit at parades and booths or whatever to try and get ballot access. But the fact of the matter is, Kennedy has the funding now with Nicole Shanahan to be able to probably do this thing through a less, you know, arduous process, but it's still going to cost a lot of money and take a lot of time. But
the average, it'll be about $400,000 per state.
That's a lot of money. But here's the deal. The Democrats just about had a stroke over this thing. I mean, here's the bump that Kennedy gets from the excitement he's generating. He's got a social media program going. He's got money to do things. I mean, who puts out a $7 million? He didn't do it, but the PAC did. A $7 million 30-second ad that says nothing in the Super Bowl. I mean, it was, in my opinion, hokey. It harkened back to a retro look to JFK back in the 1960 election and everything. Some of us remember that, few do anymore. But Nicole Shanahan had a hand in that, in the creative deal about that. But it was a $7 million price tag for a 30-second splash that all it says is, hey, we're out here. This is an opportunity of choice. And so some things are happening that the Democrats are, I think Trump is less worried about RFK than Biden is, because the Kennedys have traditionally been Democrat, and he's taken the gloves off.
Well, and Nicole's
he's
a pretty hardcore Democrat too, though. She's been funding Hillary Clinton and funding all the Democrats for a long, long time. So that's why this takes more from the Biden camp. It also shows the tyranny of the Biden camp. Why is RFK Jr. not a Democrat contender? Because they committed fraud in the primary and shut him down, and he had to go independent. This is all going to be highlighted to the mainstream big time. You watch. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit cspoa.org today. The time to act is now. cspoa.org.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
All right, we'll keep an eye on the RFK dynamic. You ain't seen nothing yet, ladies and gentlemen. You got about 8 months till the election or whatever it is. That's literally an eternity when it comes to elections. Just we'll keep an eye on the ball for you on that. Looks like SL Tribune, Salt Lake Tribune now, headline says this. Ammon Bundy, quote, wanted for arrest in Idaho, reportedly hanging out in Utah. Do you want to respond to this, doctor? These clowns, I just don't even understand it. They want to arrest every one of us, doctor.
That's really interesting, but it is truly a reflection of the managed media. I know that you're a lone voice almost out there in this process, but the fact of the matter is, if you read the Salt Lake Tribune, the Deseret News, which is the other big newspaper in Utah, the L.A. Times, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington
Post,
it's
just 90% propaganda, man. Fake news everywhere.
In fact, the USA Today is basically a sports rag that throws in some fluffy puff pieces about news, quote unquote. But if you're reading only those newspapers, what you are getting is the managed media's perspective on things, to the point that you might as well just read one of them. Because
yeah, so here's what the headlines ought to be in relation to this, and this is why I bring this up. I don't want to parrot the mainstream press at all, but I do want to. Ammon Bundy wanted for arrest in Idaho, reportedly in Utah. Well, that may be factual. He might be in Utah, and it might be factual that Idaho wants to arrest him. But let me tell you the real story on this thing. They want you to believe that somehow he was criminal and that he got, you know, lost in court and that he owes a gazillion dollars. And that may be, you know, factual as well. But it's not the real story. The real story is Ammon Bundy never got appropriate due process at all, doctor. And Lawfare is trying to bury Ammon Bundy just like they're trying to bury the Donald. Okay, this is a Lawfare dishonest manipulation against Ammon Bundy. All he did was peacefully try to, you know, stop them from abusing a child. So he tried to stand up for the family. But the problem is he's got a human rights group or people's rights group. And this people's rights group, which I happen to be a member of, I'm proud to say it. They are starting to push back when government runs amok, when hospitals and big companies run amok, and they don't like that. So this is an effort to shut down Ammon, to really shut down his People's Rights Network. Now, it won't work even if they shut down Ammon. All it'll do is give his People's Rights Network wings, in my opinion. But this is where due process has not been afforded. This is where they're just absolutely, they buried him in paperwork. They used Lawfare to try to run him out of money. This is an absolute disgrace sham. All Ammon did is try to stand up for a friend. He might have had a misdemeanor and didn't leave when they told him to, and you can call the, you know, hospital private property maybe or whatever else. But at the end of the day, he's guilty of nothing. He just used his free speech to expose them, and they can't stand it. That's the real story, doctor.
Well, but he carried it beyond that through a political campaign, too. He ran for governor against the governor that was the Good Old Boys Network that was doing this through the hospital, the IACA, I think they call it. There's a Idaho Association of Corporations or something. I don't know what IACA stands for, but it's something like that. And it is a Good Old Boy Network that that basically it's, you know, you think about the mercantile attitudes in England and in the United States. You read the 10th Anti-Federalist paper, you hear about these mercantile kind of groups that try and manipulate government on their behalf. It's, you know, it's kind of pulling the levers of government on their behalf. And Idaho's got a pretty good cabal running there, not good in the sense of being, you know, godly, but good in the sense that it's very efficient at performing its desires. And they do pretty much run Idaho. And Ammon brought that up, and that really got crosswise with those guys. And so they were more even vindictive than you can possibly imagine. I have a very good friend that that went through a similar kind of thing with a large hospital corporation in Utah that was lawyered up, and he was just a regular guy. He was a physician that was trying to do his business. He was an independent physician. Anyway, it's a long story. I'm not going to try and try it on the radio today.
Yeah, but Ammon really is hoping that there's more liberty in Utah than there was in Idaho. And I love Ammon to death, but I hate to disappoint you, brother. That ain't happening. No. Idaho's as evil, or Utah's as evil as Idaho is. That's for sure.
I think it's more embedded in Utah than it is in Idaho, sadly. And I really believe Utah is first of all, it's a sanctuary state, undeclared, but yep. But its Amen. Attitude and everything is sanctuary state, unequivocally. It's closer to Red China than probably any other state in the nation. Red China has a bigger footprint here per capita probably than
any
other
state. Yeah, because it's tied into the education system and everything else.
Well, it is, but the United Nations, too. I mean, where does the United Nations go if they want to have a meeting outside of New York? They come to Utah. I mean, that's the problem. The idea with the Great Salt Lake and the trinium they're trying to get out of there, the precious metals they're trying to get out of there, I truly believe that if the covers were all taken off, you'd find that there was international intrigue going on and there was payoffs and the legislature was trying to help. Maybe they don't even, many of them know this, but I think China is tied into that. They're trying to tie up all of those precious metals across the world. Utah, I think, per capita has a bigger problem than Idaho does. And I don't believe that he's going to find liberty here. I think he's going to be more disappointed in the state of Utah than he has been in Idaho. He hasn't had as big a profile. He hasn't run for governor. He hasn't offended the powers that be in Utah nearly as much. But give him time. The people in Utah will start to say, wait, he's... See, they cut the guts out of him constantly when he says something that is scripturally true, for example, or has a tie-in, a parallelism. Oh, boy. The religious powers that be wanted, they want to deflect away. But they really get what they want in the state legislature as it is right now. Here's the way the legislature does it. They have discovered that if they can exempt the church from some onerous thing that they're trying to pass, you know, they in the bill, churches don't have to do this, but they're taking everybody else's private property and agency and everything.
Yeah,
else
so
like that.
That's a plan for disaster, though. Self-preservation, throw everybody else under the bus is a disaster plan. Not here to attack anybody. I'm just telling you that's never a great strategy. Just imagine if some of the founders did that, we wouldn't even have a country. So let's just stop that narrative in its tracks because it's absolutely bogus. It is a really important news piece that I want to highlight right now, and I want to highlight our relevance to it, Dr. Bradley. So January the 6th, 2021 was a day in history. I believe that government created an insurrection and government literally committed massive crimes and blamed it on we the people. Most of the people were innocent. A few people got caught up in the melee and made some poor decisions. I get that. We should prosecute people for what they did individually, etc. This, you know, we're going to add these enhancements is absolutely unconstitutional and bogus. But we interviewed Stuart Rhodes the day before January the 6th, and he gave us a great breakdown of what was happening. They're trying to tie me to January the 6th because I interviewed all these people. That's completely bogus. I'll try to claim I'm a journalist. They'll say your journalistic reality doesn't doesn't, you know, matter. They've already arrested other journalists and everybody else. So, you know, they're trying to, you know, tie me to this. But I interviewed a lady by the name of Victoria White 2 days after January the 6th. Why was it 2 days? Because they blocked all communications on January the 6th, and I was supposed to interview her then. Well, then she got beat up, and I couldn't interview her the next day, so I interviewed Larvita and several other people that were there. I put on like three or four people on the 7th covering it. Well, then Victoria White, came on the 8th of January. And she broke down how they literally forced her into the Capitol, pushed her in, the crowd did, and then they basically beat her up for being in there. Well, anyway, the bottom line is they convicted her, and they, you know, made her go to jail and everything else. It's just a disgrace and a half. Well, now she's had enough. Headline from the Epoch Times now says this. Victoria White files $2 million lawsuit for police using excessive force in January the 6th. Yeah. They illegally struck her dozens of times without provocation. Unnecessary. Victoria was repeatedly struck in the face, in the head, slammed into a concrete wall on January the 6th, 2021. Victoria White said at least two Metropolitan Police officers unlawfully used deadly force by repeatedly striking her in the head and face with batons, etc. Officer Neil McAllister and other unnamed officers took part in the beatings. He, meaning this first officer, is being sued in his professional and his personal capacity, the lawsuit stated. Now, I want to play a little bit of the interview that I did with her on that day. I guess we're going to have to wait till we come back. Well, let's just start it, and then we'll take a break. Go ahead, Liz. Jane, are you there?
My name is Victoria.
Oh, I was going to call you somebody else on purpose.
Oh, no, you can call me my real name, name, because it's already out there.
All right, no problem. Then Victoria, ladies and gentlemen, I was trying to protect her because they're trying to round up everybody and say everybody's guilty of insurrection. So I was trying to be careful. Victoria, I appreciate that. You're free to say whatever you want on the radio. And that is her real name, by the way. She just told you that. Let's hear your story, Victoria.
Excuse me, Sam. This is Larvita. I wanted to say to you one thing real fast.
So we've got a few people on the radio, and Larvita is a friend of Victoria's. Larvita came on the 7th. Again, we couldn't get these people on the 6th because the government blocked all the communications. But Larvita is with Vicky. Vicky, I called her Jane because in the first place I was told, hey, you know what, we don't know that we want to give her name out. And then they discovered that it was already all over the internet, and so she's like, hey, you can use my real name. I was just being respectful of my source. But they're going to tell the story. When we get back from the break, we'll tell the story. But I wanted to just interrupt so you kind of understood who's who. You've got Larvita and you've got Victoria White. And Victoria White was literally beat up by your government. For what? She went to the Capitol peacefully. She was pushed into the building by the crowd. She didn't know what to do once she got in the building. And they literally beat her up and eventually let her go. Only to eventually come back and charge her. And you got to wonder, do they come back and charge her because she went on the radio with me? Now they're trying to cast a broader net about anybody who was involved in January the 6th in any way. Well, was I involved? I told people not to go. I didn't go, but I did interview people who did go. Very influential people like Victoria White, now with a $2 million lawsuit against these cops for beating her up with a baton. I interviewed Stuart Rhodes the day before on the 5th. While Ray Epps was encouraging people to go to the Capitol, I was interviewing Stuart Rhodes, and Stuart was basically saying, listen, we're going to be there as oath keepers. We're going to go ahead and protect the president. We're going to protect those who are milling around. And they did. There's evidence and video of literally the oath keepers protecting the police. Stuart Rhodes didn't go into the Capitol at all, and he didn't bring his weapons into D.C. either. But yet, guilty 18-plus years or something crazy. When we come back, we'll play this Larvita interview, or this Victoria White interview a little bit. It's long. It's like 19 minutes long, but we're going to play a little part of it and then talk about it with a good doctor on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Ryan Daniels. Russia has blocked a United Nations panel of experts from overseeing North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Thursday, Russia vetoed the annual renewal of sanctions monitoring on North Korea, while China opted to abstain from the vote. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller described this move as indicative of increased cooperation between Russia and North Korea. U.S. officials have raised concerns, alleging North Korea is providing weapons to Russia in its war with Ukraine. Texas Republican Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says the Biden administration is turning its back on the Lone Star State and Americans. He tells Fox Business he believes the new law, SB 4, in Texas will be upheld, allowing Texas state authorities to arrest those spotted or suspected of crossing the border illegally.
It will eventually end up at the steps of the Supreme Court for the final decision, and I believe they will say we are clearly being invaded. Everyone in America knows we're being invaded.
The law remains held up in the courts now as the White House sues against it. Biden administration attorneys argue the state of Texas has no authority to enforce federal immigration law. The president of Ukraine urging Congress to deliver critical aid to Kyiv in its war with Russia. President Zelensky briefed House Speaker Mike Johnson on the battlefield situation on Thursday, warning of Ukraine's dwindling resources and Russia's advances. He said quick passage of aid by Congress is vital. The Senate last month passed a bipartisan national security measure that includes funds for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, although the House has yet to take it up. SpaceX delaying their Falcon 9 rocket launch. The launch initially set for Thursday evening out of California was pushed until at least Friday afternoon. The Falcon 9 rocket will launch 22 Starlink satellites into orbit. This is USA News.
Hey, here's a question. After you wear your clothes, you toss them in the washing machine, right? Nobody wants to wear dirty clothes. So how do we not throw your shoes in the washing machine when they get dirty? I mean, come on. Your shoes are touching the filthy ground all day long. Gross. But with Skechers, you can, because most Skechers are machine washable. That's right. Skechers are specially made so you can toss them right in the washing machine and keep them clean and looking new. And when they look new, you can confidently wear them longer. That's less shoes you're going to want to throw away, which means less waste. And it'll save you tons of dough. I love that. Plus, machine washable Skechers are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. So when your kids get their shoes dirty, oh, and we know they will, just wash them. Brilliant. And even our latest technology, new hands-free Skechers slip-ins are washable. You just step right in and go without bending down or even touching your shoes. So give your Skechers the same treatment you give your clothes. Just toss them in the washing machine and keep them looking brand spanking new. Find machine washable Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear happens to be sold.
In the heart of Las Vegas on April 17th, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association invites you to a day of enlightenment and action. Join us at the Ahern Luxury Hotel from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. for a pivotal training and press conference. Together, we can confront America's crisis with peaceful and effective solutions, featuring key voices like General Flynn, Sheriff Richard Mack, Mike Lindell, and many more respected speakers. This event promises irrefutable evidence that our nation and its foundational principles can be preserved. Whether you're a media candidate, elected official, or a concerned citizen, this gathering offers a catered dinner, specialized training sessions, and a press conference with international and national media presence. Secure your spot by April 12th for just $49. Space is limited. Remember, media, candidates, and elected officials can attend for free. For more information, visit cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org. America is calling for her defenders. Will you answer?
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
think about the power of love on Good Friday, Easter weekend, ladies and gentlemen. How do you like that? We're talking about Victoria White. She just sued the government for $2 million, sued this cop for literally beating her up with a baton for entering the Capitol. She didn't try to go into the Capitol as much as she was pushed in by the people. Anyway, I interviewed her 2 days after. She was beat up, so she couldn't do it the next day. I couldn't do it during January the 6th either, like we had planned, because they cut off all communications. Just think of the government that cuts off all communications and beats people up, and then they say, we created an insurrection? It's a sham, people. Anyway, here's a little bit of this interview with Victoria White.
Victoria is a true hero, that she personally stopped you, Antifa, BLM members from breaking into the White House, breaking glass. There's video of it, that she was at the state capitol, that she stopped you, BLM, Antifa, people from going in there. She's not going to say that she's a hero, but I just wanted to get out there that she is really a true hero. That she has the courage to do that. So I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. So that basically the story is that there was Antifa. There were criminals there who had evil intent, who literally were trying to turn a peaceful Trump supporter rally into a criminal event, an insurrectionist event. Victoria was there, and she literally tried to stop them. We'll let her tell her story. But I only called her Jane because I wanted to protect her, but she's free to say what she wants. We're never the ones to back away. So go ahead, Victoria. Let's hear your story.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on. And, you know, from the little bits that I'm hearing, I haven't been on the internet a whole lot, but from what I'm hearing, they're twisting this narrative. They're twisting the truth and putting out a false narrative. So when we got there early in the morning, we the streets were just full of patriots peacefully walking to what is it called?
The National
the
Mall.
Uh-huh. What'd you say?
Yeah, the National Mall.
Yep, the National Mall. So to go see Trump, and you know, a lot of people are starting to wake up to the fact that the timing doesn't make sense, because when we were watching Trump, he was still on the stage at, like, what, 1:13? He was on the stage at 1:13 p.m., but the news was reporting that the Capitol was breached at, like, what, 12, right? And if that's the case, why wasn't Trump taken off stage? Why wasn't the streets locked down so that patriots and people couldn't get to the state capitol if that was the case? So after Trump's speech, and we all just walked peacefully to the Capitol, and we take our time. We saw Pete Hegseth. We just saw people out in the street, and we were just walking. The crowd was ahead of us. We hear a lot of police go by, and we're close now to the Capitol. And when we get there, we see a lot of people. And there were no police blocking off the street. There were no police. Even though we saw the cars go by, none of the police were out of their cars or even parked around the Capitol at all. They didn't even go there. So where did they go? If it was breached and it was a big issue, like they're claiming, then why was there no police to stop the rest of the people from going
there?
Yeah,
and why didn't somebody go to the rally quickly and say, hey, guys, you shouldn't go to the Capitol. There's some crazy people over there. We don't know what's going on. We know most of you people are peaceful. You've been peaceful at this event. Or, police on the streets when you walk from block to block saying, hey, guys, listen, this is the problem. There was none of that. And the question is
none
why?
Of that. Yep, exactly. And there were no barriers put up, or as you would expect in a situation like that, to say, like, you can't go any further, or none of that. So a friend and I go ahead of Larvita and them, and we run to up there, and it's, you know, again, no police, no nothing.
When you
right
say
there.
Run up there now, you're talking about running up the Capitol steps, right?
Is that what it was? Yeah, yeah. And she and I get separated, and I go up these one steps
to like a flat area, and I noticed there's somebody taking and bashing something and trying to break a glass. And I hear people saying, like, stop him, he's Antifa. But they're not doing anything. So I'm like, why? So I just automatically try to run up there. Then I see somebody else come up, grab him, and then as he's trying to stop that man from breaking the window, two other people try to pull him off of the one Antifa guy that was smashing the window. So I charged and I attacked the man, the Antifa guy that had the hat on, like the, what is it, helmet on? And there's a scuffle, and then they're like, no, we're all on the same team. Like the crowd is like all yelling at each other. And I'm like, no. Mainly the Antifa guys. They're like, we're on the same team. I'm like, no, we're not on the same team. We're not. Patriots don't come to stuff like this and destroy property. I said, Patriots don't bring that kind of a instrument here to break the window. And I said, he's not Antifa. Get him out of here. But, you know, maybe use some more colorful words. And threw the man off there, okay? And then late, like, as we're there, another guy comes along, and I'm like, and he looks like he's going to try to break that window, and they're like, no, he's not doing anything. Next thing I know, he is. And so I take that guy and throw him down. And then you see, like, people, they have a sledgehammer, a big, huge sledgehammer. Now,
all right, let's go ahead and stop it.
No.
If you all want to go back and listen to this interview, I'm telling you right now that it's January 8th. 2021. You can go to libertyroundtable.com, look at the archives, find it, listen to the whole interview. I just want you to understand, we had first account of what happened and what they did to try to stop the carnage. They literally put Victoria in jail. Now she's suing them for beating her up. The cops beat her up, and she's suing for $2 million. It just came out in the Epoch Times today. Dr. Bradley, what do you think? I mean, Liberty Roundtable Live with first-hand accounts of what happened on that day. That's just a clip of the interview.
Well, you know, this thing is such a hodgepodge and a mess that sorting it ultimately is going to be a pretty big deal. But I think it ought to be sorted in court without a lot of passion and everything. Let's go to the facts. Let's present everything. Let's have it public. And I think it needs to be gotten to the bottom of. But it's really interesting to me, the provocateurs that were there. There were probably federal agent provocateurs. There were facilitators at the very least.
The government says they don't even know how many FBI agents were embedded in the crowd in court. That's
exactly
what they said.
Well, and you know, they know. I mean,
of course they do. They lied in court, but I'm telling you, if they say they didn't know, they do know. If they didn't know, they have lost track of their assets, right? Neither is a good tale.
Look at their duty roster. I mean, they know who they were paying that day, and if they had people on assignment, let's ask them, let's bring them in, let's have them testify. Where were you on this date, such and such? I mean, the whole thing can be sorted out. But the lies can be corrected. But this lady that was just on your interview that you were playing the tape of, she pleaded guilty, if I recall correctly, back in August.
Yeah, and she did, not because she thinks she was guilty, but because they threatened her and created fear tactics to where she was afraid she'd go to jail for virtually ever her whole adult life. She's got children and everything else, and she was afraid that, so she was basically, in my opinion, coerced into, basically admitting guilt and copping a plea, right?
Well, then that's exactly the point I was trying to make, was that this thing was a leveraged, they dropped three other charges or whatever. If you'll plead to this, well, but the thing is, she's got a felony, and there's a whole bunch of issues with that from now on with the rest of her life.
That's
but
right.
The fact of the matter is that the justice system has very little justice in it anymore. Again, the Founding Fathers, we talk about how the system they set up was to prevent innocent people from being unjustly convicted of anything, and that's the antithesis of that, the Antifa of that, if you will. The other thing is she brings up the Antifa stuff, where these individuals were providing and doing the violent acts, and those guys, it's like the Reichstag fire in 1933, when Hitler's goons probably burned down the Reichstag in order to blame it on somebody else. And there's so many parallels to that that it's just
sickening. Go
ahead,
skip the break. Continue, Doctor.
Well, it's absolutely sickening what we're doing in this country to twist and turn and really not to get to the truth. I'm very disconcerted that America...
Go ahead, skip the break. Continue, Doctor.
America has found itself in this condition where we're the guilty are being punished and the innocent are being punished and the guilty are being let free. When we have, I just wonder what happened to the Antifa guy. There's another guy. In fact, they traced him ultimately to Salt Lake City that touched off a few rounds from the top of a scaffolding. I don't know if you remember seeing that, Sam. We might be able to bring that up and take a look at some of that. But the fact of the matter is, this guy was touching off rounds in Washington, D.C. I mean,
well, and he was working with Ray Epps. This guy was up on the scaffolding, and Ray Epps was down there literally feeding the crowd into the lair. We've got that all on video, Doctor. And none of those
Absolutely.
People are under any prosecutory reality at all.
And this guy, I want to know what happened to him. I mean, I want to know, here's a guy on top of a scaffold. They got it on video. They know who he is.
He's protected.
And he is? And that's the thing is the provocateurs, the Lon Horiuchi guys or whatever that pulled the trigger get away while people died. Not literally in this case. Well, there were some people that died, and it was unrelated to other things that they claim it was. But the fact is, it's a massive confusion that's all a scripted kind of an outcome, it seems to me. And it just needs to get to the bottom of it. We need to have these videos and tapes and court cases revisited. It just
yeah, but you know what? The 41,000 hours of evidence and video and everything else, it's not being released. They gave a teeny bit to Tucker Carlson, a teeny bit to the Epoch Times. Kevin McCarthy promised to release it. He lied and didn't do it. Now Mike Johnson's not doing it. The bottom line is we're not going to get to the truth in this, folks. This is literally, in my opinion, a false flag operation. There was an insurrection on that day, but it was committed by your government. More evidence is coming out every day about that. Why did they beat the crap out of this mother that was there trying to stop the bad guys? But they literally beat the tar out of her with batons, Doctor. Their fists and batons.
That's the thing.
Why would you beat this lady up?
This is every bit as egregious to the things. Remember the freedom riders that went down in the 60s into try and break the color barrier and everything like that was down there, and they beat the snot out of these people with batons. This is as every bit as brutal that way as it is. But it's not getting the press that it did in those days because of a lot of things, the political correctness of it. Here's a white woman. I think she's a blonde white woman. Incorrect.
Yes, she is.
But at any rate, she's getting, a young woman, got kids, and she's being beat up with a baton, and there's evidence that she was struck at least 40 times, head and shoulders. I mean, that smarts. And it was every bit as bad as the goons that were beating up those that were trying to be freedom riders back in the early 60s and break the color barrier. But here we are.
Yeah, if I remember right, too, and they smashed her against the cement wall, she started to fall down, and they pulled her up to beat her more.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you can't let them get away with the minimum amount of beating. I mean, but the provocateurs, where are they? What about these Antifa guys? What happened to them? What about this guy that was touching off rounds at the top of the scaffolding? I mean, they know who he is. I mean, there's no doubt about who that guy is. I'd like to see what happened to him. It's just
appalling. He's all good. He's protected. He's good. Him and Ray Epps are just fine. No harm, no foul for these people. And this is where the government's gone criminal and rogue. Have they started a civil war? Here's the question for you, Dr. Bradley. Is this really going to be a civil war now? Is a civil war imminent, I guess, is the question?
No, I don't think. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. I don't think that you can say it's never going to be. But I don't think it's going to be by the end of March. I mean, here it is the 29th.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, forget imminent? March, forget a time frame, but is a civil war imminent in America? Because, not because it has to be, I think it can be avoided, but because the government now is literally declaring war on us. Look, the government has literally said, I'm the nexus of terrorism and hate and anti-government in America. They've literally reported that to Congress. It's in the congressional record 2 years in a row. I try to call my congressman to get to the bottom of it, and they're just like, oh, whatever, Sam. We can't really do anything for you. Sorry. And that's all we get. But look, they're going after me? What for? What did I do? Report the truth?
Well, I think you're probably one of the least dangerous people there is on this continent right now, Sam. I mean, it's amazing how the magicians are working this to make good, solid citizens look like the bad guys. But getting back to the question, is it imminent? I don't believe it is. I believe that they're trying to push that way. I believe that the provocateurs in the deep state, the provocateurs in the that are collaborators with that, like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and all of those subversive organizations, I believe that they're trying to bring about a civil war. They actually want to do that to disrupt society so that society can be overthrown and the form of government we have to be destroyed. I mean, that's, like I say, that's been the communist goal since the 1800s. And again, Engels wrote about it in his preface to the Communist Manifesto in the 1880s. But the fact is that's always been their tactic. They did it in Bolshevik Russia. They did it in China. I mean, they did it in Cambodia. They've done it in Vietnam. I mean, these tactics work. And they just replay them over and over and over again. That's how Hitler and his goons all got all the power they got. You disrupt society. You get people so desperate that they'll do anything to be able to get out of it, and that's where they're going with this. That's how Napoleon came to power. That's how Robespierre and all of his thugs got in power in the French Revolution. And so, yeah, they're trying to, but I think that really there's a lot of good people left in the country, and I'm still thinking that we can avoid that problem, as hard as they are blowing on those embers to try and get the bonfire of rebellion going. But I don't think it's imminent. But I don't think we can ever let our guard down either.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's imminent or not. Here's what I do know. We will use every influence we have to make sure that does not happen. We will use every influence we have to follow the Prince of Peace, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, and have transparency and accountability in the rule of law with the checks and balances, and we will look to God, not government. And so if we have anything to say about it, a civil war will not happen. So I don't believe it is imminent either. And if it is, it's because we the people allowed it to occur, not because it was forced upon us. And the way we allow it to occur is because we're not a religious and a moral people. The way to stop it is to become a religious and a moral people once again, thus Easter, thus Good Friday. I want to kind of tie that full circle, because it isn't imminent if we turn to God. He can and will protect us. It's a promise he's laid out. It's a covenant in the Bible. And so, no, it's not imminent, but it may happen. And I pray and will do all that I can with everything within my power, my being, to stop it, Doctor.
Well, absolutely. Amen, brother. That's all I can say to that thing. But the fact of the matter is that you make people desperate enough. You make it owing it awful enough. I mean, every single stinking thing that happens is carried as far as you can make it, as desperate as you can make it. And I say this often, the most vulnerable amongst us are often the ones that fold. I mean, somebody decides, I've got no hope, I've got to run down the street and break windows or throw bricks or shoot M16s or whatever. I mean, people that feel like they're out of hope, they're a desperation, suddenly they say, well, what have I got to lose? I mean, I've talked to people in cases that were before a judge that they make really stupid decisions because they say, I don't see any other options. And we do have options. This returning to the foundational principles, the good book, the godly things, the hope of Easter, all those kind of things can bring us back to a place where we don't have to take that desperate move that is so desperately being sought by this the powers that be to destroy this great nation. This is the last great hope in the world. Well, okay, the Savior is. I give you that. And I completely
agree.
But
this nation is in terms of our agency to follow and worship him on the earth today, though. We've fallen, other countries fallen. It will be a dark day of tyranny if we allow it to be. So the question is, the Savior will return. Our goal is to create a work towards developing a people ready to receive their king when he comes, right? That, I mean, that's our quest. That's our goal.
Absolutely. And that was the goal of the American Founding Fathers. They had a joint session of Congress on Christmas back in 1804. John Hargrove was asked to address that specific issue, the second coming of the Savior, and how to prepare the nation for Judgment Day. That was the assigned topic to John Hargrove as he addressed both the House and the Senate on Christmas Day. I mean, they weren't home schmoozing and campaigning and everything in those days. They were trying to figure out, how do we get the nation ready? Can you imagine something like that happening today? It's absolutely
wouldn't it be incredible?
Impossible.
It would be incredible, and it's an opportunity that we need to work for. We need to pray hard, do our very best, and trust in God for the rest on this. By the way, I got one last story before the end of the hour I want to highlight. I don't know if you know this, but Sunday, of course, it's the Sabbath. Don't forget that. Make it a day of delight, will you? But it is World Backup Day on Sunday, March 31st. They say an entire day devoted to saving important files. Now, don't get me wrong. I think you should back up, folks, okay? Back up all your files, please. You've got to do that. But I don't want to think of Sunday as, quote, World Backup Day, okay? Let's have a day entirely devoted to God Almighty. Back up a different day and then devote that day to God Almighty. If we want his blessings, that's what we will do ASAP, Doctor.
Well, you pointed out that this Sunday is a Sabbath, rightly so. And if you go back and look in Second Chronicles is the cliff notes of what happened in Israel, okay? And the reason that the Jews were taken into captivity and for 70 years, around 600 B.C., was because they had turned their back on the Sabbath. That was... And in the end of Second Chronicles, you can read about how that was the reason that they had to go into captivity for 70 years, because the land needed to catch up on its Sabbaths. They had violated the Sabbaths enough so frequently and so incessantly that the land needed to have its Sabbaths restored. They were brought into captivity because of that, and that's one of the things that's a sign between the Lord and the people, is that we keep the Sabbath. And so... anyway, that's scripturally, that's the way it is. And Sabbath is more of a holiday than a holy day in America. And so maybe that's kind of where we've gone with National Backup Day. Holy cow. I mean, is that the most important thing that happens that day or not? I don't think so.
Of course not. That was my whole point, is I appreciate that we want to back up our files. That's a wise advice. But folks, you've got to prioritize and understand that, you know what, you got to have good, better, and best. That's good to back up your files. The best is to make the Sabbath a delight and worship God Almighty and make sure that we give him his day, and that we focus on these things of greatest, of best, of most important on that day. There you have it. It's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. 2 hours of hard-hitting talk focused on Good Friday, focused on Easter weekend. Back up your files a different day and then worship God on the Sabbath, will you please? For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly, remember our event, cspoa.org, to keep an eye on what's happening. Incredible, incredible event happening April the 17th. It's a Wednesday all day long at the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. Spread the word, share the love, sign up today, cspoa.org. God save the Republic of the United States of America.